La Monty Show, Thursday, June 12th, 2018. I'm Monty, that's Jake.
Hello.
Have you survived the monsoons?
Yeah, you know, I almost drowned yesterday, but today was a little drier, so we're okay.
Did you float to the house in your little
Fiat? I did. I actually have a paddle.
Did you, speaking of Fiat, we bought, I don't know how many people know this, back in 2015 in Salt Lake City, Mrs. Monty and I and Jake bought three Fiats, Fiat 500s, on the exact same day. Same dealership, same transaction. Did you hear that Ronaldo signed with Juventus for $130 million? And the Fiat factory went on strike because the owner of Fiat Chrysler also owns Juventus and is apparently a cheapskate with his Fiat people. So I thought I'd throw that out there. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, if you're in Arizona, Jake's got one of the flyer than most Fiat 500s.
Yep.
Ab art.
Yeah.
I have a pretty nice one, too, by the way.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's fine. Hey, we got a big show for you as always today. Got to talk LeBron. Got to talk Papa John Schnatter. Big update on that. We got John Lester, Joey Lucchese. We've got Mission Impossible Fallout. I'm doing a juice fast. But we're going to start the show today with LeSean McCoy. Oh, boy. LeSean McCoy is in big trouble. And if you don't know this story, let me set it up. And I'm being very serious about this because it is domestic violence. It is everything conceivably, Jake, that is wrong with the NFL. LeSean McCoy made headlines the other day because his home was broken into and his ex-girlfriend, who was living there, was beaten severely and robbed in a home invasion. And she and her lawyer now, and apparently at the time that it happened, she told police that the gentleman referenced jewelry that her and LeSean McCoy essentially broke up over. And she's come straight out now and said that LeSean McCoy set this up. And it's all a domestic dispute over jewelry in the home that she lives in, that McCoy owns. And whether he did this or not, and this is the problem. This is the biggest problem. Whether he's guilty or innocent, he's guilty. Because he's a football player, there was domestic violence. Everybody right now is hitting the guilty button, whether they know the story or not.
Yeah.
And to be truth be told, nobody knows if he set this up or not. But when I tell that story, and you know now that the cops, according to reports, have been to the house three times in the last year.
Yeah.
On July 3rd of 2017, there was a domestic issue where LeSean McCoy was standing on the front lawn of this home with his belongings in a big pile, and his girlfriend had kicked him out of the house. They had broken up. The fight started because somebody loaned LeSean McCoy and his girlfriend jewelry for big-time events. You know, celebrities wear huge, expensive jewelry to these events, and then they give it back. The girlfriend didn't want to give it back. They had a huge fight. She kicked him out of the house. On that date, LeSean McCoy said something that is very relevant today. He told the cops on that day, "I'm being very careful because of all the domestic violence in my profession." And the cops told him, "If you're going to have interaction with her in person, you need to have witnesses with you." And then a year and a week later, this happens.
Right.
I don't think that there's any way this ends well for LeSean McCoy.
No, I mean, the correlations are just too easy to make. And obviously, the disagreement over the jewelry started from, you know, day one, essentially. I mean, she didn't want to give back jewelry that he had essentially loaned and borrowed, which is common practice. That's not the problem. But I just think that, you know, he's smart for saying that to the cops, and I like where his head was at in that moment.
Yeah.
But clearly, I mean, clearly this is a bad decision. It looks bad one way or the other, and I don't know. There's going to have to be, for him to come out of this clean and not be guilty of anything, there's going to have to be, like, some introduction of evidence.
It's never going to happen. It doesn't. And this is Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis is a murderer. He says he didn't do it at the Super Bowl all those years ago, but what do people know about Ray Lewis? Oh, he's a murderer. Like, you're never getting away from that. Tiger Woods is a philanderer. He's always going to be the guy that cheated on his wife. Like, I mean, the infamy surrounding these guys, whether they're guilty or not, it's always a stigma with them. Now LeSean McCoy is always going to be attached to this. I don't think he ever gets away from it.
Probably not.
I have no idea if he's guilty or not. I don't think anybody really knows but LeSean. But somehow, some way, if you're the NFL and you're the Buffalo Bills, you are going to have to get him away from the league right now. And this is the hot button conversation.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to paint all NFL players with the Greg Hardy, Ray Rice brush, but you have a running back in the NFL for the Buffalo Bills and LeSean McCoy, who's being accused by a woman of setting up a home invasion, beating her severely, sending her to the hospital, and robbing her of jewelry. And you have a history of police being called to the home for domestic issues. You have a 911 caller when the incident happened that said this is something to do with her ex-boyfriend. Like, this doesn't look good at all.
No.
Whether he's guilty or not, I think you have to say to him, hey, we need you to stay away from the football team. Can't have you report for camp until this issue is resolved.
But because it's the NFL, that won't happen.
I think there's a good chance it will. I don't see how you don't. There's been domestic violence in the NFL. There's been too many incidents. We can go Ray Carruth. We can go,
I'm not saying the list all isn't of them. Long.
All the way,
but
again.
What I'm saying here is that, again, the NFL has a terrible habit of not getting out in front of these things. So they may do it at one point or another, but what good is it going to do if you do it, you know, later down the line?
You have to do it before training camp opens for Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I think you got to put him on the reserve list. You got to pay him. And you just got to keep him away from the league. Because the appearance of condoning domestic violence just can't happen. This is what I said yesterday on the show about Steve Keim, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, got a DUI, refused to take a breathalyzer, refused to take a field sobriety
test.
Bad
decision after bad decision, man.
And you've got to get him away from the league. Because, again, this is an executive now who I think should be held to a higher standard. I think you got to start taking action.
But I don't think that's who these people are. I don't think that's what is going to happen.
I would be shocked. What do you think they will do?
I think they will do nothing. I think they will stand pat and be quiet.
Wow. Even on McCoy?
Yeah.
Wow. I'd be stunned if that happened with McCoy.
What happened with Zeke?
Yeah, well, and you had the owner of the team fighting.
Backing him up.
Yeah, and fighting, and finally he got suspended.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so that's what I'm saying. Like, these guys, these are not proactive people. These are not people who think that, they don't think about the right thing to do. They think about what's going to make them the most money, or in this case, save them the most money.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, this is like a really ugly situation.
To you and me, it would seem obvious. Okay, well, he's done this. Our league, the NFL, has a perception problem, and it's not just a perception problem, by the way. This is an actual tangible problem they have with domestic violence.
Reuben Foster recently, it's a long list.
Athlete violence against their spouses and loved ones is at an all-time high. I mean, I haven't been around forever, but I can tell you this has to be one of the worst times in the league for this. So the idea that they would do nothing seems outlandish, but what else do I have to go on? Like, give me an example of a time outside of Colin Kaepernick when somebody was sent home. Somebody was...
Colin Kaepernick. Oh, that's funny. I can't think of a time.
And
Josh Brown,
problem.
The kicker, maybe comes to mind. But I think you have to put your foot down here. You've got to say, okay, this is an opportunity to do the right thing. And I think this is doing the right thing. LeSean, by the way, you've made a ton of money. It's not about the paycheck.
No.
We need you to focus on you and your family, and we have to do what's best for the football team and the league. So we're just going to put you on the exempt list. We're going to pay you until there's reason not to pay you, which would be charges or a guilty plea or anything like that. We're going to pay you, and we're just going to keep you at arm's length here.
Yeah.
that would be the right thing to do, because this ultimately, I guess, is a conversation. The NFL doesn't have the benefit of the doubt anymore. The guys don't have there's no reason. And this is sad. It's even hard for me to say this out loud. There's no reason to believe LeSean McCoy right now. None. It's a violent sport. It is a physical sport where violence is not only condoned, it's expected.
Well, violence is what gets you results.
Yeah.
And so when you think about, and this is how I like to think about it. In the moment, think about on the field, LeSean McCoy's got the ball. He needs to get that extra yard for a first down. So violence is going to allow him to run through whoever that defender is between him and the stick, right? So in that moment, before, you know, when instincts take over, okay, plow forward, right? Do the violent thing. Just take action.
Yeah.
That's right on the field, wrong in real life.
And you probably don't remember this, but, you know, you had a guy in Jovan Belcher with the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, who killed himself and his girlfriend. And it just is, you know, he drove to the Chiefs training facility. And, like, you cannot make a mistake here, because lives are on the line with what we know about CTE and what we know about Aaron Hernandez and what we know, like, all of these situations. Violence is expected on the field, and I think that's one of the major issues, is how do guys get away from that? So when you have a situation like LeSean McCoy, who is being accused of, you know, really just attempted murder is what this comes down to. I mean, it's a horrendous, heinous crime. You have no other choice.
Yep.
And I know I've said this repeatedly, but I just want to be careful with it. The guy has been accused by his ex-girlfriend and her family. Law enforcement's not accusing LeSean. LeSean's not admitted to anything. It's the girl, the victim in this case, the woman that was beaten during the home invasion, her family, and her attorney. I want to make that perfectly clear. I'm not saying he did anything wrong at all. Yet he still does not deserve the benefit of the doubt because of the NFL's track record with domestic violence.
And any way you slice it, he's got a connection to it. He may not have planned it. He may not have executed it. He may not have had anything to do with the actual crime. But he's in the middle of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So no matter what, you're guilty before you're innocent, and it's that simple.
Yeah, and that sucks. That it really does suck.
But in a certain type of way, those choices you make with your life put you in those kind of positions. You want to go out, and again, I'm just sitting here saying he has the choice of who he wants to date, and you can't tell me he hasn't seen those kind of traits out of her before. There, you know people. You spend time with
careful.
People. I'm just saying, you spend time. You spend enough time with people, you know who they are as people.
Well, and I always try to stay away from victim blaming or victim shaming.
I'm not blaming
her. Right, but I think it's a valid point here because of what LeSean said to cops last year, which was, "Hey, I'm worried she's going to try and set me up. Hey, I can't. I need to be really careful because of the culture of the league right now."
So at that point, you knew that. Why would you not just remove yourself from the situation?
Well, and the story that's going on is this house is in Georgia, right? LeSean McCoy owns this home in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And his ex-girlfriend refused to leave the house. She refused to leave and give him the jewelry bag after the fight. The cops say to LeSean, "You cannot kick her out of the house. You have to go through the courts, and you have to evict her." He said to the cops during one of the domestic issues, "Okay, I'll do that. I'm starting that process." Cops are called again. This time, it's the victim calling the cops saying, "Hey, I'm watching people rob my home on my cell phone through a security system. Like we have it at the house in Arizona. We have, you know, Vivint, and I can watch the security cameras on my phone." And the cops go over there, and it's LeSean McCoy's family taking furniture out. And they stop them, and they say, "Hey, you can't take community property out of this house. That has to be done through a judge." So they make them put the stuff back in the house. It's all of these kind of incidents.
Yeah.
And my point is, LaShawn knew he had a domestic issue, and his relationship with this woman had deteriorated to the point where he was having to try and evict her from his home. So the idea that you would, and this is what the girl is accusing him of, by the way, the idea that you would hire somebody to do a home invasion, smash this woman's face, and say to her, "Here, I'm here to take your jewelry," because the girl is saying that that's what the home invader said.
Mm-hmm.
How dumb could you be if you're LaShawn McCoy? So I want to be very careful and make sure everybody knows. I'm not saying he did this or is guilty of this. It still means he can't be with the Bills right now and he can't be around the NFL right now because he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt, rightly or wrongly. Make sure you find us on the iHeartRadio app, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. That's also the way you find us really everywhere. Anywhere you get your podcasts, anywhere on Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. It's The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Let's talk about one of my least favorite human beings on the planet for about the last several years. Papa John Schnatter. That name is just weird. Papa John Schnatter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it came out this week that he dropped an N-bomb on a conference call.
Yeah, he had a bad week.
With a marketing firm. He's had a bad life.
You want to talk about bad choices.
Then again, he's a racist, apparently. So he's on a call with a marketing firm that's trying to teach him to be sensitive and deal with the media better. And he used an N-word referring to Colonel Sanders from Kentucky Fried Chicken and talked about black people being drugged until they were dead from cars. Well, that came out in a Forbes article. He confirmed it. Today, Papa John resigned his position as the head of Papa John's. He has also resigned from the board at Louisville. And today, Major League Baseball announced it had canceled its relationship with Papa John, and there will be no more Papa Slams, where you get pizza related to Grand Slams being hit. I mean, this is a bad guy. This is not a good dude. How do I say this politely?
No, I don't feel bad for him.
This is exactly what he deserves.
Yeah.
And my question is, after the whole NFL thing, was it simply a monetary transaction that baseball was willing to do business with him? I think it is. I think it was.
Well, I think they had, you know, so there's two schools of thoughts, right? Like, okay, you know Papa John's relationship to the NFL, so get out in front and sever ties with them before, you know, you have egg on your face, right? But then this happens, and all of a sudden, you're Major League Baseball, and you're like, okay, time to hit the eject button. We're out. Like, it's over.
What do you always say? Ejecto-cito?
Yeah, you know, that's an old school Fast and Furious reference, right? Like, you know, so it just is like, get out of there. And again, this is what the NFL doesn't do. They don't just sever ties on any level. And I like what Major League Baseball is doing. I think it's smart. Yeah. I think the NBA and Major League Baseball do a great job of kind of policing themselves and handling different situations the right way.
You're not a Manfred fan, though.
Not a huge. I'm not a Manfred fan.
Commissioner of Baseball, Commissioner
from
Manfred.
The perspective of all the changes to the game. I can understand trying to speed it up a little bit. Like all the downtime with, you know, pitching changes, all the downtime with hitters, like, you know, stepping out, and then stepping back in, and now we've waited probably 2.5 minutes for them to get a pitch.
Yeah.
I get that. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, get in the box. You're up there to hit. How long do you need to stand there?
What about Commissioner Silver with the NBA? I'm actually a huge fan of him.
I am a huge fan. I think he's done a lot of good things. I think from a business perspective, he's done well.
This one-and-done rule is going to be a problem.
Yeah, it'll be controversial.
Yeah, which I'm glad they're supposedly going to eliminate. Anyway, the reason I bring up Papa John now, it's funny, I'm calling him Papa John. The reason I bring up John Schnatter now is because I do think there's still NFL blowback related to this guy. Like, I was watching Bloomberg. Yes, I'm a nerd. I get it. I was watching Bloomberg TV today, and the first thing they brought up is the fact that Papa John's broke ties with the NFL, mutually agreed to walk away. That was a year ago, and they're still bringing that up. So the NFL's had a very bad week. There's just no other way to slice this. I think the NFL, and they need to get their butts back in training camp. Like, because this is what happens. It's, you know, Pac-Man Jones getting attacked in an airport wasn't his fault.
Nope.
The guy got arrested. They didn't charge Pac-Man Jones. But this is what happens in July. NFL players get bored. The offseason's too long for them. Because we as fans think the offseason's too long, other than you.
Look, I'm not a football guy. Like, it's
you're
game.
A football guy. You don't like the NFL.
I don't like the NFL. I don't like the model. I don't like the lack of accountability. I mean, I just think it's not a great league overall. Yeah. It's just simply not a great league.
But I think this time of year, football players find themselves in trouble.
Because they have too much money and too much time.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I'll ever eat at Papa John's again. Your favorite pizza. Here's my problem with pizza, okay? Not to be totally awkward, because I had a brain fart there. I'll admit it. Anyway, my favorite pizza, if I'm doing fast food pizza, if I'm not going to sit somewhere, it's Costco. Costco pizza is so far and away better than Domino's, Pizza Hut. It's
easily better.
Papa John's. I haven't had Papa John's. I don't know that I've ever had Papa John's. I could be wrong, but I don't think I've ever had it.
I think I've had it like once or twice.
And I don't believe I've ever had Little Caesars either.
No, I haven't.
Pretty sure I haven't had that.
Anyway, yeah, Costco is far and away better. There's no doubt.
Yeah, so I think Papa John's goes away. I think this will tremendously damage them.
Yeah.
I don't know how you save this. You can give away free pizza and it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
I think they're... Do you think people know about this, by the way, the Papa John's story?
I think people know that baseball stepped away. I think you have to be invested in the NFL to know about that story.
I don't know how many people realize that Papa John Schnatter dropped an N-bomb on a conference call.
Yeah, that's probably not as well known, but I mean, a hardcore sports fan would know that story.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what happens to their business. Hey, I do want to talk about Tom Cruise, by the way. How old do you think Tom Cruise is?
I mean, he looks like he's 45, but he's got to be in his 50s.
55-year-old Tom Cruise. I am so fired up that in 2.5 weeks, Mission Impossible Fallout hits theaters. I am so excited. Like, I watched the trailer 5 times today, tweeted it out. Like, I am really excited for this movie. Now, I am a huge James Bond, Mission Impossible, that thread of movies. I'm a huge fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think James Bond is far and away a better film and a better, obviously, better brand. But I really like Ethan Hunt. I like Tom Cruise's Ethan Hunt, and I love Mission Impossible.
Yeah, and I think it's smart by them to introduce a little bit more comedy into it, just a little bit more like lighthearted jokes. I think that spices it up.
You realize at 55 years old, he's doing all his own stunts. Like, he almost got killed filming this movie. That scene you see where he jumps onto a building, he severely injured himself doing that. Like, I mean, it's fascinating to me all the things that Tom Cruise is doing. He's a strange duck, but I love him in the movies. He's one of the first guys I ever really gravitated to as a kid because of Top Gun.
Yeah.
Like, I had a friend in, I think that came out when I was in seventh grade. I had a friend in seventh grade who was wearing, like, the military, the Navy shirt with the shoulder bars and because of Top Gun.
Yeah.
I absolutely, positively had aviator sunglasses. My mother would not buy me Ray-Bans. But there used to be a store, Venture. There used to be a store in Illinois called Venture, which was Walmart, by the way, or Target. But this store, Venture, we used to shop there all the time. It was a terrible store. Anyway, we'd go in there, and yeah, she bought me a pair of Tom Cruise sunglasses. And I used to wear those. Do you remember moon boots? You don't. You're so young. I'm 45. When I was a kid, there was something called a moon boot. It was essentially a winter boot. It was a foam winter boot that it looked like the astronauts wore on the moon, so I called them moon boots.
Mm-hmm.
I used to wear those aviator sunglasses with moon boots that had my parachute pants tucked into them.
Mm.
Do you remember parachute pants?
No.
You don't. Man, you're so young. Parachute pants were like nylon pants that were just the bomb. You remember Zubaz?
No.
Ah! How do you not know about Zubaz pants? You're such a child. Anyway, I loved those moon boots. My dog chewed those moon boots, and I had one of those crying fit, throw myself on the ground, my mother grounded me for the rest of the day fits because my dog, my Doberman Pinscher, I grew up with a Doberman Pinscher as a kid, chewed my moon boots, and I was just so
livid.
Oh, because really, truly as a kid, this is a nothing story. Truly as a kid, I wanted a pair of Air Jordans. And my mother would never buy them for me. And I was, and I think it's why today I spend outrageous amounts of my own cash on shoes, because I was withheld shoes as a child. Like I was, my feet were beaten and wrapped so that they would stop growing.
Right.
That's not true. I wear a size 15. But my mom would buy me generic shoes and it used to piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why I went to work at Athlete's Foot and Foot Locker. It's why I just love shoes now, I think. But my mother would never buy me Air Jordans, and she always used to say, well, you don't know how to take care of your stuff. And it's like, you know what, woman? I'm going to show you. And I never took care of my stuff, so she would never buy them for me. And then my dog chewed my moon boots. And I wanted to kill that dog. I did, desperately. By the way, speaking of dogs, the San Diego Union Tribune, which I don't read, but it was impossible to avoid it because... Did you see the article they tweeted? It was an opinion piece. Okay.
Good, good. We're trending in the right direction.
No, we're not. We're not. So the Tribune tweets this piece that essentially says dogs are parasites and they're a drain on our finances and our lives. And people freaked out. The Union Tribune, it's called SDUT Ideas, San Diego Union Tribune Ideas. The headline is, let's be honest, America, dogs are parasites, not man's best friend.
That's cold.
And people freaked out.
Dude, why do we have a dog beach? If they're so bad, why do we have a dog beach?
I don't know what the UT is doing. Like, I think this is clearly clickbait because they did a Facebook Live chat session about it. They did all of this stupid stuff, and it worked to perfection. They're very good at what they do.
Yeah.
Dogs are not parasites.
Nah.
I have two wonderful little guys.
Yeah.
And they make my life better. Screw you. Dogs are not parasites.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's really like, yeah, I mean, sure, they cost money. It's part of ownership, just like a car or something, but they make your life better.
They do cost money. And when I travel, when I travel, I have to make accommodations for them.
Yeah, you leave them with me.
Yeah, exactly. But I have now, they don't sleep in my bed anymore. Like, I've trained them a little bit. They crap in my house too often, which really pisses me off. But other than that, you know, they freak out on the 4th of July like everybody else's dog. But there's nothing more enjoyable than when you come out of your room in the morning and they're just sitting there waiting for you. And you say, good morning, and they come running over, and they want to pee on your leg because they've been holding it for 10 hours. Like, there's nothing better than that. You know, there's nothing better than spending $50 on a bag of dog food that's organic and all natural and doesn't have any sawdust in it just because you want them to eat better than you.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with the fact that my wife will take a shower with my dogs, but won't take a shower with me. There's nothing wrong with that. Dogs are not parasites.
Do you feel better?
Well, they're cock blockers. There's no doubt about that. You put a dog in a bed and your sex life is dead. I'm just telling you that right now. That's a fact. Try it. You want contraception? Buy yourself a dog that sleeps in your bed. You will never get laid. What? Have you ever had sex while your dog watches? It's incredibly awkward. I am not kidding. Anyways, we should move on because this is probably a little too provocateur. Anyway, you can find that on my Twitter feed, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y,
The
Monty Show.
The picture, too. What the hell with the picture?
Yeah.
The picture is like a sad-faced looking dog with these big-ass ears.
So you're just finding this now?
Yeah. What?
Okay.
What's up with the picture?
Thank you for looking at my Twitter.
I didn't see the picture. What? That's messed up.
Thank you. You should click that picture because it doesn't...
Dude, it looks like the dog just lost its dog. Like, what?
So this is hurting my feelings. So I'm just figuring out now that you do not follow me on Twitter.
Well, I do follow you.
You just don't read it.
I don't read it.
No, you're muted. I mute you.
I'm an Instagram guy.
By the way, did you see that Barack Obama and Katy Perry both lost over 2 million followers today? Because Twitter purged all those bots. And essentially what happens is everybody has fake followers.
Yeah.
I lost like 100 something.
Well, it's just inevitable. I mean,
yeah, I went from like 53 to 5180 or something like that. But they lost 2 million followers because of all the bots.
Nah, sweating it.
That's incredible. Well, Kate, do you realize Katy Perry has the most followers of anybody on Twitter?
I wasn't aware of that.
How ridiculous is that? That's Katy Perry. Anyway, hey, let's talk some baseball. If I said to you, what's going on in baseball right now? What are the biggest stories, like, for you? What are the biggest stories in baseball?
Well, for me personally, it's the NL West. I mean, I obsess over it. You know, all the stories, the garbage that is Lucchesi going down. It's just complete
Why
garbage.
Why is it garbage?
Because you're sending down, and this is exactly what I'm talking about right here. You want to ask me, hey, are the Padres going to develop that talent? And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, yeah, they're doing really good. Lauer had a good outing. Lucchesi had a pretty average outing.
You know why they're sending
Sacrifice
him down.
Sacrifice somebody else. That's what I have to say.
But, bro, you know why they're sending him down.
I don't. I really don't.
It makes total sense. He pitched last night. And then think about what's 5 days from now. His next start would be in 5 days.
Which is going to be against AAA hitters.
So this would be Thursday 1, Friday 2, Saturday 3, Sunday 4, Monday would be his fifth day. So what happened? Well, Monday's the All-Star game or All-Star break, Monday, Tuesday. So he wouldn't pitch in the big leagues for almost 2 weeks. And he's missed so much time this year already. They want him to stay on his regular work. Mm. So they sent him down. He'll get that start in AAA. And then he'll come back up on regular work. I think it's the absolute right thing to do. Why do you want to send? Why do you want to keep him around?
Because I think part of being a big leaguer is the experience, dude. Part of the challenges of developing, it's not just about putting him out there every fifth day. That's not the whole deal. Part of the challenge of being a big leaguer is having the 2 weeks off, learning how to manage your body, learning how to keep your arm in shape. Like, that's part of the deal. Part of being a big leaguer as a rookie is figuring out the minutiae of the All-Star break. What should I be doing during the All-Star break? Oh, well, because I'm a rookie, I'm going to get sent down and just keep throwing.
But he's missed all this time because of his hip. So he hasn't had... He's not at 100%. He did not pitch well last night against those crappy Dodgers.
Fine. Great. I hate the Dodgers. Let him get lit. Who cares? He needs the innings.
Right. Exactly. He needs the innings.
At the major league level.
Dude, you're a pitcher. How does this not ring with you?
I'm a pitcher. I know how the process works. He doesn't need more innings at AAA. He doesn't need to face little leaguers, dude. The guy doesn't need that. He can dominate AAA.
I think he needs to throw the baseball. And I think he needs to work on his mechanics, repeating his mechanics. He needs to feel his breaking ball and his fastball. He's missed so many innings this year because of injury that he just needs to keep throwing. They need to hand him the ball every fifth day. And the next fifth day will be Monday in El Paso. And that's exactly where it should be. And then 5 days after that, it'll be wherever the Padres are. I think they're back home after that. Yeah. I think they just need to keep giving him I have no problem with this. Sorry, man. I think that this is exactly the right thing to do because he's really important. And there is some fear with Lucchesi that he's falling behind a little bit. Because of the injuries, his fastball, I think, is a little disappointing that he's not a power arm. Like, that's why Lauer pumping it up there at 95 the other night with the four-seamer, striking guys out at the top of the zone with command. That's why that was so important for the Padres, because I look at a guy like Lucchesi, and he's a 90-mile-an-hour pitcher.
Because of his mechanics.
Yeah, and some guys just aren't meant to throw. You don't have to throw hard to get guys out at the big league level. Kyle Hendricks.
But this is exactly what I'm saying. So why is it disappointing he doesn't have a fastball if he doesn't need it?
Because his other stuff is not honed. He's what Dave Rigetti calls a fingertip pitcher. Joey Lucchesi has to be able to feel that ball on his fingertips, and he has to feel it roll off his fingers the same way 5,000 times. And then 5,000 more. And then maybe he gets it. He's very Tim Lincecum without the power, right? Like, he's a guy that has odd mechanics. There's a lot of movement. You hate his mechanics. I know. We've talked about this. But with the up and down, herky-jerky, left, right, out front, then go home thing, I think it's incredibly difficult to repeat those mechanics. And so I think it affects his command and his control.
And his velocity. And you wonder why Eric Lauer throws hard, dude. Like,
yeah, it was nice
why
to see that.
Throws hard.
You like, have to admit that was really nice to
see.
Yeah,
but what I want to admit is that he's clearly developing, and I think development isn't the result. It's what you're doing in the meat of the game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they go on a trip. That's right. They go on a trip to start the second half, Friday in Philadelphia. So it's a long, that's right. It's a long haul for him. So he won't be scheduled to pitch till that weekend set in Philadelphia. So it'd be a long ride for him not to play in a game. So I don't have any trouble with this. I forgot their second half start is atrocious. Absolutely awful. They come out at Philly, at New York, home for Arizona and San Francisco, then right back on the road for Chicago, Milwaukee, then right back home for Philly and LA and Arizona. By the way, Garrett Richards for the Angels. Tommy John surgery, donezo.
Yeah, I mean, he's AJ Burnett. That was bound to happen.
That's a great comparison.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about AJ Burnett in a long time.
Yeah, and look at his mechanics. They're a replica of AJ Burnett.
Yeah, boy, who hates the Padres at Major League Baseball? Their second half schedule is unbelievable.
Yeah, look, I just think that it's but
look at their August.
I get it. I get it. Their schedule is tough. I understand that. But like, I don't even, to be honest with you, not to be harsh about it, that doesn't really matter for them specifically.
It doesn't.
Like,
no.
It literally has no effect. Like, they're going to be the team that gets beat up on. They need to develop guys, and like. This is a good schedule to see failure in, and I think that's super important for young guys. They have to be able to fail so that they can build on that failure and learn from that failure, and it's why it's so frustrating with what they're doing right now. I just don't understand why, you know, 2019 better just be the best year this franchise has ever had in its life.
Nah, it won't be. 2019 for the Padres is when the young guys come up. I would say 2020 and 2021 are the years where you're really going to see the Padres take a step forward. Next year is the year where they should push 500, where you should have young guys come up and really start contributing. The Uriases of the world, the Tatises of the world, a year from now should be on the way, where all of this pitching should really start pushing into AA and AAA. You know, the Chihuahuas and the Missions should really be seeing a lot more of this quality pitching. Like next year, El Paso should just be stocked. They should rake, they should pitch, they should catch. Like, it should be, that's what you're really going to see, because that's what you saw with the Cubs. That's what you see with the Yankees. That's what you see with all of these teams that have developed their young guys through the system. That's what you see.
Mm-hmm.
So the NL West is interesting, though. I'm a little surprised, and I don't know how you feel about this. I'm a little surprised that the Colorado Rockies have hung around. A little. Not a lot.
I mean,
I'm a little surprised.
They're hanging around because they're not being put away. You know, they're only in it because they haven't been, you know, finished yet.
Well, they've beat some good teams. And now, you know, having the Dodgers and D-backs tied for first place in that division, I think is stunning. Because I don't think anybody saw a 19-2 loss with the Diamondbacks yesterday. Like, nobody...
Pounding.
Yeah, nobody could have predicted that, where you had Descalzo pitching in the fourth inning. Like, that was weird to me. Then you lose again today, 5-1. Robbie Ray lost again, pitched poorly. Not poorly. He didn't pitch poorly. He just didn't lock down Colorado the way they would have liked. I mean, you win 2 of 3, back-to-back against the Mariners and the Diamondbacks, that's pretty good. They swept San Francisco. That's really good. The Rockies won 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. They're playing really good baseball right now, and it's because they're getting really good pitching. And that's what's most surprising for me.
Yeah.
I think the other thing in baseball that stands out for me is Bryce Harper hitting, you know, 214 or whatever it is. He had a home run tonight, his 23rd.
Yeah.
He's going to participate in the home run derby, which I think is absolutely terrible for your swing. As a professional hitter, that's terrible for your swing. I don't know why guys do it. Maybe this is what breaks Bryce Harper out of it. I don't know. But this guy's better than 214. How much money has he cost himself with this terrible first half?
I mean, I really think that depends who you ask. In my opinion, I think it's, you know, I was never going to pay him $400 million. So I think he's probably a 350 in 7 years.
What are we ever going to agree on with Bryce Harper? Because he's one of the few things where we've never found common ground on this.
He's not the best player in baseball. So, He's not going to get the best money in baseball. He's not worth 10 years because he's far too inconsistent. After a year like this, I'm not paying him. I'm not paying you 10 years to get four. You know, I'm not paying you 10 years to get seven. If I'm paying you 10 years, I need eight solid seasons. Like, 8 out of 10 years need to be solid. And the problem is that that's not a realistic ask because the body breaks down. He's not ever going to be able to give that to you. So that's why I say I'd be willing to pay him like 340, 350 for 7 years. I'm good with that. Like, you want to do that? Great. Knock yourself out. It's gonna.
Mike Trout wants $400 million for 10 years.
Not going to happen.
Not even Mike Trout. No. Nobody then.
No, nobody. Because I can beat you, Mike Trout. I can beat you. What team, ask yourself this question. What team is going to win the World Series with that kind of a player, with that kind of a salary on their cap?
The Cubs. Our Cubs could absolutely win the World Series. And they're going to pay tax, and I get that. But the Cubs need a thumping bat. If the Cubs had Mike Trout playing center field for $40 million a year, who's beating them? Because you're no longer wondering if Ian Happ is going to catch the ball or if Almora is going to do whatever.
Almora is just as good a defender as he is. Almora is just as good of an arm as Trout has.
But see, Mike Trout, there's this belief that Albert Almora Jr. runs like the wind. He doesn't. Like, he's not a blazer. Mike Trout's a blazer. He'll steal bases. He'll cover gaps. He'll hit for power. Like, he does everything. His offensive ability puts you over the top. They're already an elite defensive team that saves runs like nobody's business. All of this to say, I'd pay Mike Trout more than I would pay Bryce Harper because there's something wrong with Bryce Harper. I don't know what it is. I don't want him to hit 300 because that's not who he is. But 275 is not asking too much. 400 on base is not asking too much.
Yeah.
You know, I on base plus slugging,
yeah.
Can I get something over 600? You know, like this is a real problem for Bryce Harper now. Because as a diehard Cub fan who lives and dies with every pitch, I'd love to have Bryce Harper on my team. But now I'm not paying him $40 million a year. And what we said in our pre-show meeting is what I'm going to say right now. And I don't know why people say that on their radio shows. I would pay him for 5 years, $40 million. Totally fine to do it.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Let's bang, yeah.
I agree. I mean, that's a solid contract. I'm fine with that. But, again, I'm just saying, you're the guy who goes, you're so up and down with the Cubs specifically that I've, like, if
who,
you're
gonna, me?
Yeah, 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 you
me?
Are. Don't play it like that. You are.
No. I am not an emotional guy at all.
Mm-hmm.
I totally am. I would pay him 5 years. From what I'm seeing this year, I'm not seeing a $400 million player for a decade.
Nope.
Going into this year, I was all on it. Absolutely. But right now, I just don't see that. He needs to have a monster second half.
Do you know
half.
How much of a farce that is?
What?
A 10-year $400 million player. That will
Mike
never
Trout is
exist.
That guy.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He's not.
Okay, well.
How do you figure that? Like, how do you figure over the, like, what does he need to do on the field to make that contract worth it? And
he
by the way, how many rings
bombs,
do you have to win?
You have to win 5 rings in 10 years. Like, you have to be a dynasty type team to pay him that kind of money. You have to be. But you don't pay that to Albert Pujols, a guy that is home run only. Albert Pujols. Mike Trout's everything.
But one of the key factors in his game is the speed.
Yes.
That will run out quickly.
When?
I don't know how old he is now. Like, I don't know off the top of my head, but. When he hits 30, it will start running out.
Here's the difference, though. Guys are engineered now. And this is my fear with Bryce Harper. I think Bryce Harper's injured. I think something, I don't know if it's the shoulder. I don't know what it is. He's not the same guy at the plate. He cannot get that low and away pitch. He cannot get that pitch away from him. And until he gets back to hitting the ball the other way, until he accepts the fact that he can walk 100 times a year, he's not that kind of player anymore. He just is not. And I think he's slipped a little defensively as well. And I think that team's failings are largely about morale around Bryce Harper. I think he's the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room. You know, like he's that omnipresent conversation about, well, how are we going to trade him? Oh, he's going to walk away. We're going to get nothing. Like it's that conversation. And now I think with every strikeout, with every 1-for-5, he was 1-for-5 tonight. He's now hitting 213. He's got an on-base percentage of .367, which for the normal guy is not terrible, but you would expect him to be higher than that. He's only slugging .473, and he's got 23 home runs, and he's only slugging .473.
Mm-hmm.
That's a freaking problem, man. So my feeling is that Bryce Harper is just, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
There is something wrong. Real quick, John Lester's not going to pitch in the All-Star game. It was announced today that the Cubs want to flip him and Kyle Hendricks, and that Johnny's going to take the ball on Sunday, and Zach Greinke from the Diamondbacks replaces him. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Because I love it.
I think it's the right move for the Cubs. I mean, every game is going to matter going down the stretch here. Like, you're going to have a dominant second half, I think, to allow yourself to kind of cruise to the end of the year. Right, so the next 25 games, 30 games are really going to determine how hard you're going to have to work to win that division.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and so if you're able to win like 16 of 24, 25, like if you're able to play that kind of baseball, then I think you're going to be in great shape to finish the year on a little bit easier of a note. Like, I'm not saying to just kind of, you know, walk into the postseason, but don't have it come down to the last day of the year where you're stressing on it, you know. That's the last thing you want if you're them. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's the right move. I think you got to play every game like it's your last game, and you got to win.
They can't score 7 runs over 3 games in San Francisco and expect to win, and they lost 2 of 3 there. They're heading here to San Diego for 3 to end it. Chatwood against Clayton Richard, Lester against Perdomo, and it's probably Lester against Lauer on Sunday and Hendricks against Perdomo.
Which, by the way,
Saturday.
That's a pretty good matchup. If Lauer can replicate.
Yeah, I'd really like to get to that game. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there. But that game, Lester versus Lauer, would be magnificent.
By the way,
yeah,
the ticket thing at Petco Park, he didn't say, Fowler, he didn't say that tickets were $100. That wasn't the gripe. He said that you can go to Petco Park, family of 4, for under $100.
Yes, correct.
Which is just garbage. It's not true.
It is.
But I don't see why people have a problem with that. You're a family of 4. You know the cost. Like I tickets alone are going to run you close to $100.
Decent tickets. There's the problem is winning cures all of this.
Well, of course, yeah, because it's a good brand. Then.
Yeah, and there was a huge fight on Twitter today. A lady said that she was having a lot of trouble affording taking her kids to the game, and that it's difficult to get around the park. And I think this is where everybody piles on the Padres.
Yeah.
I think it's the most beautiful baseball venue in the country. I don't know of a more beautiful, picturesque ballpark. Certainly Wrigley,
AT&T.
Yankee Stadium, AT&T Park, like the histrionic, like long-term
Fenway.
Beautiful parks are not in this same category. AT&T Park's a great example because there are, having been to probably 3,000 games in that park, there are, maybe 2,000. It's very difficult to beat AT&T Park. But, man, I love going to games in San Diego. Petco is, I'm telling you, we're lucky that it's so close. The point is, if they'd win games, we would stop talking about this. So a year from now and then 2 years from now, we're not going to be having this conversation about ticket costs, concession costs, fun things. Like, there's no more family-friendly ballpark in this country than Petco Park.
Yeah.
Whether it's the park, what are we even talking about? Being around that ballpark is sensational. They're not winning. And winning would take care of all this, is my point. So, hey, look, I don't have any problem to finish this off. I have no problem with John Lester not pitching in the All-Star game.
It's smart. I mean, it's absolutely smart. I mean, I think, you know, every year inevitably we end up talking about, well, what's the best All-Star game? And this year I'm just like, why are we even talking about it? I mean, I think for me the NBA is the most exciting. Major League Baseball just
feels
like, you know, it matters. Like, I don't know. It doesn't matter that much to me anymore. I think it did in the early 2000s, but I don't know. I think, you know, you look at the matchups and you look at what the Cubs have coming. They're coming with the Cardinals first series out of the break with was that five?
A five-game
series, so they're clearly making up a game there. But then you got the Diamondbacks, more Cardinals, so you're playing – you're essentially going to play the Cardinals seven out of your next, like, 15 games.
Yeah,
so,
and in the middle there, you've got the Diamondbacks.
Like, I don't know, but this is what I'm saying. And all the Diamondback lovers hear me say this, because this is right at you. I told you the Diamondbacks were coming back to earth eventually.
They were going
to fade. And that was a nice little start you had, but now they're back to who they were. And so now it's going to be interesting to see, okay, well, now that the Diamondbacks aren't considered an elite team, how do teams like the Cubs
play them?
They're
not an elite team.
Oh, I never called them an elite team.
I think they are very, very good.
I don't think they are.
With Goldie hitting and...
with Robbie Ray not pitching, with Zach Greinke being kind of elite.
Like, he's not the same pitcher he used to be.
No, but that doesn't mean he's not good.
They're very pedestrian. This Shelby Miller situation, now
that's
he's back
gnar.
On the disabled list. He's got inflammation in his elbow.
There's no telling what that's going to turn out to be. You have that injury, you work as hard as he did, and now you're back on the DL. That's rough.
Well, you're there. I mean, what's the buzz around the Diamondbacks in Phoenix?
The buzz is his arm hurts a lot.
Diamondback fans are worried.
Shelby.
I just think on the whole.
Yeah, you know that kind of injury is that's a kick in the nuts, dude. That you worked really hard to get back. That's the Bryce Harper morale conversation we were just having. Like,
yep.
This guy was supposed to be a great move, and you gave up Dansby to get him, and it just hasn't panned out. He hasn't been the 200 innings guy he was projected to be when he was a Cardinal, you know, and this is why I always say there are organizations in Major League Baseball, the Cardinals, somewhat the Cubs, but especially the Giants, who know how to handle pitchers. They understand the game.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks are not one of those organizations,
well,
dude.
But we've talked about Mike Butcher, the pitching coach of the Diamondbacks. I think he's a very good X's and O's pitching coach. Mechanically speaking, work rate,
the science behind pitching. He's not good.
No.
The idea of how to get guys out, how to execute a game plan, excellent.
Yeah, follow up a fastball with a splitter,
yeah,
sure.
Understanding that, he's excellent.
Yeah.
Situationally, he's excellent. But the science behind pitching and understanding when Patrick Corbin tells you that, yeah, I feel great every fifth day, he doesn't actually feel great every fifth day.
Well, just the Diamondbacks' problem to me seems to be the package away from your start. So all of your side work. Like one of the things that I feel like Butcher struggles with is this guy needs to add XYZ. Okay, Patrick Corbin really needs to add
tilt to his slider.
How are we going to do that? Okay, well, let's do this. And I'm spoiled, by the way. I've covered, I think, the two best pitching coaches of my generation in Dave Duncan in St. Louis. And Dave Rigetti in San Francisco, I think, are two of the best pitching coaches who've ever done it. I was very fortunate to watch Dave Rigetti work in side sessions, and I got to spend a lot of time with Dave Duncan at spring training when I covered the Cardinals. Like, I mean, those guys know how to fix you as a pitcher.
Yeah.
Mike Butcher doesn't. And it's why the Angels struggled, and it's why I think largely this pitching staff has stagnated in Arizona.
Yeah, I you couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah, I think that's a real question mark.
Yeah.
I think they're still very good. I will say all along in the NL West, the Dodgers are going to win that division.
I'm not saying the Diamondbacks are a bad team, but I think there's a difference between being an elite team and then being like a solid opponent. And I think now they've come down to a solid opponent, and I think it's largely because of guys like Robbie Ray. You know, it really is. I mean, if you think about, compare the Padres to the Diamondbacks. How far away are the Padres from being the Diamondbacks in this division, realistically? Because if Lauer's giving you contributions the way, because Lauer is their Patrick Corbin right now.
Yeah.
He's the guy that needs to come on and he needs to be consistent. The difference is he's still, the expectations are still out in front of him. He's still chasing the tier of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Corbin's a little past it and he's still trying to, you know, figure it out, right? Like, so Lauer could be their Patrick Corbin. They don't have an ace right now. They don't have that guy.
Like, it's an interesting look, because I actually don't think the Padres are that far talent-wise behind the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
They have to learn to win.
Yeah.
Is really what it is. So it'll be interesting. I the Dodgers are going to win this division because I still think they're going to go out and add significantly.
Yeah.
And this is all about the Chris Archers of the world, the Zach Britton's
of the world.
The Machado
deal needs to end, and then I think everything else
will
happen.
Well, I think he's going
to
be a Yankee.
Yeah.
You know, even though the Yankees pulled Sheffield out of that deal now, I think the Yankees are going
to
get Machado. and then we're going
to
have a...
And I don't know what the Red Sox say to that. I mean, I don't know what the... I mean, I guess the counter move is Archer. But
the Red Sox need an arm. There's so many guys... Every year, there's every so team many teams needs that needs pitching.
You can never have enough.
And there's not a lot of pitching out there right now. There really isn't. So it'll be interesting to see how that breaks. I think that's a very good comparison. I do. I'm really worried about the Cubs anyway. You know, so back to our original point. I have no problem flipping Lester and Hendricks.
It's
and
right
Lester
move.
Not pitching in the All-Star game because they've got to come out swinging.
Yeah, they need to. They John Lester needs to come out and give you seven innings in one run or less and set the tone.
Yeah,
that's what he needs to do.
I agree. I that would be great. By the way, before we get out of here, Mrs. Monty woke me up with a blast this morning.
No.
She said we're going to do a juice fast.
No.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm going to do it. You're not doing it, but we're going to do it. And
no,
I'm going to love it.
I'm too in the flow at work, bro. I can't do it. I can't take myself out of the flow.
Yeah. I'm excited about it.
The difference is you have the ability to sleep it off when it's going to hit you like a freight train, and I don't have that opportunity right now.
Well, it's going to hit me like a freight train on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, I'll keep you up to date. I'll let you know tomorrow for the show. We'll tell you how day one of the Deuce Fast went.
Good talk.
Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud. It's all The Monty Show. MONTY The Monty Show. That's also how you find us on Twitter. MONTY The Monty Show. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.